Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And yes, indeed, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting hurricane-free zone, right here at Area 52, which is right next to Area 51. So the government can't find out who we are, where we are. The NSA, the CIA, the IRS. Can't find out where we are. This is Pastor Mike, and this is the talk show Hell Hates. And I promise the more you listen, the more you know why. Hurricane Irma is... You ought to see... I'm going to show you this. I just remembered this just now, or I would have put it up on the screen in a better way. I did a screen capture of the Drudge Report app on my mobile yesterday. And, I mean, just the headline itself is Irma, 185-mile-an-hour super winds, they're calling it, headed to Florida from all that their computer models can figure out. This thing's headed to Florida. I am reading articles about lines at supermarkets. There's no gas. Now, I'm not one of these YouTube guys that blows everything up way out of truth and out of proportion. Gas stations running low or out of gas. Okay, I'm not saying that there's no gas anywhere in Florida. Obviously, with some of the food they eat, there's plenty of gas. I can tell you that. There's a wind, all right, in Florida. But anyway, supplies running out. Here's the headline that Drudge put up yesterday. She's a beast. Cue the music. She is a beast. Now, I'm going to try to make you aware of just how true that headline is. Whether Matt Drudge or whoever was the editor-in-chief when that came up, I'm going to try to, from the Word of God, help you to understand just how true and right that statement is about this hurricane. When you see the world through the eyes of the world, you don't see much. When you see the world through the eyes of the Word of God, I would like to say you can see everything, because I believe that everything is in the Word of God. That being said, hang on, I need volume. Where can I get volume? There we go. What was I saying? Anyway, when you see things through the eyes of the Word of God, I believe everything is in the Word of God, but our problem is we're seeing through a glass darkly. I don't think that I've ever knowingly seen a spirit, either good or bad. I believe one time we here at Bethel Church entertained an angel unawares. That's a story for a different day. But I don't think I've ever seen a spirit, a ghost, a haint, a spook, a specter, an evil spirit, fallen angel, whatever you want to call them. I don't think I've ever seen them with my eyes. I have, however, seen them through the eyes of the Scriptures, the eyes of the Word of God. And when you see things happening in the world, understand that there is always the spiritual connection to what's going on in this world. This world is a very small part of a very large spiritual universe, spiritual realm. And there are spirits all around us. There are spirits working through people and in people, good and bad. We know that God's Holy Spirit works through us as born-again believers. We also know that, listen to this now, what spirit is it that works through the children of disobedience? What spirit is it? According to Ephesians 2, it's the prince of the power of the what? The air. And you might say, Pastor, are you saying that this Hurricane Irma is a ghost, is a spirit? It's not really there? No, it's there. I'll throw this in. I would almost put money down. And I'm not a gambling man. Knowing YouTube the way I know it, I would almost put money down on somebody on YouTube, as serious as they can be, putting a YouTube video up saying that both Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma never happened. They are psyops. They are false flag events performed by crisis actors. And it's basically another way to bring us under martial law. Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, never happening. Those pictures are fake. I can identify all the crisis actors. They've been in all of the other staged events. I almost guarantee you there's going to be a YouTube video out if it's not already. If you find it, you can send it to me if you want, but if I watch it, I'll probably get mad. Okay, I'll just probably get a little angry and say, what a moron. Anyway, because that's just the way YouTube is. I just caution you, watch out for weird people on YouTube. Okay, now, does Hurricane Irma, does Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Katrina, all these other, we named our second daughter after Hurricane Alicia. Not kidding. Do hurricanes have a spiritual connection? Is this just a storm? Well, let me tell you, storms are mentioned all through the Bible. Go to purebiblesearch.com, type in the word storm or storms, stormy. Type in the word storm. In fact, let me show you how to do it. Here I am telling you what to do. Let me show you. Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish. Let's see, what shot am I looking for here? Teach a man to fish. And he'll never work another day in his life. This is how you do it. Type in the word S-T-O-R-M and then an asterisk, which is Shift-8 on a Windows keyboard. You're going to get all the variations of the word storm, stormy, whatever. Storm, 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 storm. Storms are all through the Bible. And they are referenced. Look at here, Isaiah 28:2. Look at here. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Right here, and I did not even think of this verse before I put my notes down for today. Right here, you have a verse in the Bible. Let me highlight that for you, so you, in case you can't see it on your screen. Right there, you have a verse in the Bible telling you, this is God telling you, that there can be a spiritual connection between naturally occurring events on the earth, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, think about it, volcano eruptions. There can be, and maybe often is, a spirit associated with certain naturally occurring events, like whirlwinds, like tornadoes, like storms, like floods. Think about this verse in light of Hurricane Harvey. The Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. So there is zero doubt in my mind that storms such as Harvey, such as Irma, here in the United States, that there can be a spiritual, and when I say spiritual, I really mean true to form spirits, angels, evil angels. Destroying wind is what God said, as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. Well, there is a spirit named in the Bible, Abaddon and Apollyon. His name is Destroyer. Shiva is the destroyer of worlds. Okay? That's his nickname. Okay? How'd you like to have that tattooed on you? Anyway, spiritual connection. I got an email. This lady's reading her Bible. Man, I love it. Isaiah 17:11. In the day that shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. She mentions here that she had food and water stored up. Now, some people ask me, Pastor, you think we ought to be, you know, stockpiling, you know, meals ready to eat, dehydrated foods and you know, water and kerosene and gold and silver and have a bunker? And I'll tell you this, if you live in Florida, you would wish that you had a safe underground bunker with a 6-month supply of food and water and a power generator of some kind. You will wish that you had, and some people probably do. In the world that we live in right now, when there is a earthquake, when there is a tornado, when there is a Category 5 plus hurricane barreling down on you, it's not like it was in the 1800s or the 1700s. You go out and you rake up some of the leaves and sticks out of the yard, and you go feed the pigs and the cows and the chickens if they're still there. In today's world, there could be mass upheavals because of the destruction. There is going to be, there is going to be looting. I don't understand. Somebody help me understand. Why? Hurricane Harvey shows up. Everybody's flooded out of their house. There are shortages of personal care products, soap, things like that, toothpaste, things we take advantage of. There is a shortage of clean drinking water. Grocery stores, food restaurants shut down. Nothing is operating. And when people break in stores and loot them and steal their goods, they're not breaking into the Hostess Bakery thrift shop. They're not breaking into the supermarket. They're breaking in to the beauty shop to steal weaves. What is wrong with people? How are you going to eat and drink a weave, a wig for your... I don't understand it. So does it make sense to have a plan B ready? I think so, because who said that the next huge, devastating event that takes place, the rapture is going to happen before it? Who said that? And I don't know about you, but I want to live. I want my wife and children to live, and my grandchildren. So it may not be a bad idea. Stock up. Okay? But anyway, this lady says that at this very hour we are in Florida, not sure yet of the actual path of Irma, because she can change direction at any time. Yeah, that's a woman. Okay, La Donna Mobile. La Donna Mobile. You know what that means? La Donna is the woman. Mobile is mobile. Fickle. A woman is fickle. That's what the word song means. La Donna Mobile, qua più mavento. I don't know what that part means. But anyway, a woman is fickle. In the Bible, the strange woman. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. All right? Same thing with hurricanes. She does not have to tell the forecasters where she's going. She can go wherever she wants to go, whenever she wants to go there, and you don't have anything to say about it. But anyway, this emailer said, I am brought to mind this passage in Jeremiah 25:32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. It's exactly right. This one came from the coast of Western Africa. Western Africa, the wind blows from the Sahara Desert. That hot wind coming out over the Atlantic, the warm waters of the tropical Atlantic Ocean, and just picking up all that moisture and forming the whirlwind. And it moves east to west, and then at some point it'll shoot north because it comes up from the south. That's what where was that other verse at? Job 37:9, out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. Okay? So anyway, I want to get into scriptures. Is God saying something with the whirlwind? Is God speaking something here? Well, we can guess. And that's what people do with signs and wonders, because when you do a sign or a wonder, unless the sign specifically says word for word what it's all about, it leaves people wondering, what is this all about? I have no idea. And then you have false prophets, false teachers come in and say, oh, I'm getting revelation from God. What this means is hand over your wallet because I'm coming for it. All right. False prophets, false teachers love to make stuff and make up stuff that's not true. They say, God said, and God said, I never said that. Go read Ezekiel 13. That's what you'll find. They are daubing the wall with untempered mortar, saying, God has said, and God said, I didn't say, those are not my words. That's what Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Neither shall ye touch it, is what she added to what God said, lest ye die. So let's look at, I brought these two verses up before, just in general, talking about whirlwinds. Before we get to that, here's our sponsors, du jour. Georgie Concrete. And then we have our good friend. You know what? Here's his offer for you today. Out of thegreatcoffee.com, bananas. Now, I'm not drinking bananas Foster. Okay? I have the Denzi, D-apostrophe-E-N-Z-I. All right? That's my favorite coffee that I've had so far from them. I'm not saying their others are trash. It's good coffee. I've not had bad coffee from them. Ooh. Whew. Man, it's good. You can thank the British for our love of coffee here in America. We just decided one day that Boston Harbor needed more tea than we did. Here is the offer from outofthegray.com. Anyone who is listening to this broadcast, either live or recorded, you go to outofthegraycoffee.com or you can visit their store, Erie, Pennsylvania. Enter the words King James Code. Receive a 10% discount off their entire order. You order $100 worth of coffee, $10 off. Okay? You're getting $10 free for typing in the phrase King James Code. And they also have a Bank of Java reward system. You sign up, you buy coffee from them, you collect points. At some point, I would assume that you get free stuff, like free coffee. And I like free. To me, free is better than I'd rather be free than cheap. All right. And then, SaratogaCrackers.com. The Saratoga Cracker Brothers, I call them. Good young men came here for our homecoming. And they even have a selection of gluten-free cracker products. Now, once again, I am not being paid to endorse these products. These are friends of our ministry. If you are a friend of our ministry and you have a product and or service and or business, and you would like for me to give it a shout-out on this live broadcast, I don't have a problem in the world doing that. Just send something free. Okay, like coffee or, you know, hat or, you know, crackers or, you know, anything. All right? Hey, I said I'm free, but I am not cheap. Anyway, the Word of God. This is the Word of God today. Look at Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job. Look at here. Out of the whirlwind. There was a whirlwind present, apparently. Now, this is toward the end of the book of Job. Job has gone through his ordeal, and God is now going to reveal to Job who God really is. As if, you know, I'm not saying that Job had it all wrong and he was a false convert. What I'm saying is God is just revealing a lot about his nature, his character, how he works, how big and powerful he is, and so on. And twice now, Job 38, Job 40, he answers Job out of the whirlwind. Let me tell you, people, God is the creator of whirlwinds. God is the creator of whirlwinds. God can sit inside of a whirlwind, sit on top of a whirlwind, sit underneath of a whirlwind, spin a whirlwind around on his finger like Metal Lark Lemon with a basketball. God, some of you probably don't even know who that is, okay? Harlem Globetrotter. Metal Lark Lemon. Who was it? The bald guy used to spin the basketball real well, okay? I don't remember. I used to love Harlem Globetrotters. Oh, used to love it. Anyway, if God wanted to, God could bring a whirlwind out of his beard, okay? If he wanted to. God, what I'm saying is, as powerful as Hurricane Irma apparently is, 185-mile-an-hour wind. That's nothing to God. It's not, God's not running for safety. God's not hiding. God inhabits that whirlwind. He is speaking to Job out of that world. And I have a little theory about what that looks like, and I'm going to show you that today. But he said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And he's talking about the three friends of Job who are sitting there telling Job about how bad he is and how he needs to repent and do all this and curse God and die and get this over with. And then in chapter 40, verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind. He did it again twice, and we have a double witness here. Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. In other words, Job, stand up. Pull your pants up and stand up like a man. God is going to talk now to Job, man to man. Job, let's me and you have a talk. I'm going to tell you how things really are in this world. I know you've been through an ordeal, but I'm going to show you who I am and just how big I am, just how powerful I am. You remember Behemoth? I created him. He's nothing to me. You know, Leviathan? You've heard the stories about the fishermen, you know, catching a Leviathan, trying to reel him in, and the fight. They said they'll never do that again. God said, I made Leviathan, and I'm not afraid of him. God created this whirlwind, and God is not afraid of this. God uses it for his purpose to declare his power. Think about that. Some people have in their mind that our God is a weakling. I don't think so. He created Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. He created them both. He's not weak by any. In fact, God could double the spin of that hurricane from 185 miles an hour to almost 400 miles an hour. God could do that. And it would be nothing to him. This is the God that we have. Now, what interests me about this passage is that he said he speaks out of the whirlwind. He answered Job out of the whirlwind. What is the significance of that? What is the symbolism? What is the meaning of that? I look in my Bible and I want to know why God did that. Okay? A lot of people, this September the 23rd thing is just, it's ridiculous. There's so many people looking at Bible prophecy from the perspective of when. Everybody wants to know when. And I used to be that way. And I'm not anymore. I don't care. What I want to know and how I look at it is why? Why is God answering Job out of the whirlwind? Why did Elijah get into the whirlwind? Why did he do that? Why was it a whirlwind that came and got Elijah? Okay, because I ask God why. God, why did he do that? Why is it that you had it this way? I want to know. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And I think you ought to just get a copy of the King James Pure Bible Search software, type in the word whirlwind, or a whirlwind with an asterisk, because that'll get both of them, whirlwind and whirlwinds, and have yourself a little party in the Bible. Type in the word wind with an asterisk. Now you get window and winding and so on, but wind or windy or winds, you'll get all of those verses, and you just look through the Bible. See what the Bible says about that. Make notes. Put them in categories, all right? But do you remember, I talked about this last week, the shape of whirlwinds. Do you remember that? Look at that. Now, this right here up on the upper right-hand corner is not Hurricane Irma. Neither is this down here on the lower right-hand corner. Neither one of them. Now, this right here on the left is Hurricane Irma. This is the latest photograph. And I believe that this right here probably is Cuba. That's how John Kennedy pronounced it. From the nation, from the island of Cuba. And but anyway, this is Irma right here. And I want you to notice the pattern. The organization. It's not just a random blast of oddball winds. It is very, in fact, they're noting this one. Those meteorologists and those who study hurricanes, you can almost hear them wince a little bit. When they get excited at hurricanes, if you listen to these guys talk, okay, I'm pretty sure they, hurricane season, they all wear Depends because they get so excited because these hurricanes show up, and they all like to see that eye in the middle of it. And when that hurricane makes that perfect circle in the middle of it, you can hear them on the news talking, oh, look at the eye, that thing, it's perfectly formed, you know, and you're just going, okay, go to the bathroom. Okay, it's going to be okay, all right? It's just an eye, for crying out loud. But the organization and the structure of this thing, it's absolutely stunning. It's amazing. That number one, there is a beauty to this. There's something in us that God put in us that recognizes this pattern. That when we see it, to us, it is something that is beautiful. Something that is pleasing to the eyes. There's some things that are ugly that we don't like to look at. And there are things that are beautiful that sometimes we can't take our eyes off of them. That's in our nature, all right? And this pattern and things with this swirl to it, to us, it's a thing of beauty. It looks like a white rose in the skies, a white lily in the heavens, is what it looks like. And I want you to get this. We're the first generation in the history of Earth that actually gets to see a hurricane from the top instead of the bottom. Nobody knew what hurricanes looked like prior to our ability to fly overhead and examine them and take pictures of them. We're the first people in the history of the world that's ever been able to see that. And we look at that. In fact, I'll give you this. You take that same idea. Let me get big-headed here. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I just thought of this just now. This is cool. I like it. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Here we go. Lick my fingers. Turn the pages. In describing the circular nature of time, think about it. In describing the circular nature of time, Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 1:4, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind, watch this now. At the time Solomon wrote this, we're talking 3,000 years ago. Who knew this? Who is it that knew how the winds moved around the face of the earth? Who knew that? God did. And God gave it to Solomon, a holy man of God speaking as he's moved by the Holy Ghost. He said, the wind goes toward the south, and it turneth about unto the north. It whirleth. Look at that. Look. Solomon. I'm getting excited here. Maybe I need the depends. Solomon said, it whirleth about. Where is that verse? I lost it. It whirleth about continually. A whirlwind. Think about it. No one prior to us going up into the sky, looking down, taking pictures of these things, no one knew what they looked like. Because everybody all saw these hurricanes or these typhoons from the earth looking up, and you can't see the whirling. And yet we're looking here. I don't know how high above the whirlwind you have to be, but we're looking down and we're seeing these things whirling about continuously. Isn't that amazing? Solomon knew this because God told it to him. And some people don't like the Bible for some reason. But remember the Fibonacci sequence. Let me go back over this very quickly for you. Mathematician named Fibonacci, son of Benacci. I think that's what it means. Figured this out in his mind. If you take the number 1 and add 0 to it, because what comes before 1? 0. And 0 plus 1 is 1. So the Fibonacci sequence starts out with 0, 1. And then the next number would be 1, because 1 plus 0 is 1. The next number in the sequence is going to be 2, because 1 plus 1 is 2. The next number then is going to be 3, because 2 plus 1 is 3. You take any number in the sequence, add it to the previous number in the sequence to get the next number in the sequence. So let's start with 3. 3 plus 2, which is the previous number, is 5. 5 plus 3, the previous number, is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. 13 plus 8 is 21. 21 plus 13 is 34. 34 plus 21 is 55. I'll give you this. Did you know the number 144 is in the Fibonacci sequence. Pretty cool. Fibonacci sequence, the number 144 is in there. Okay, do the math on it. Do your own Fibonacci calculations, all right? But anyway, the pattern is, if you look here, you have two small squares. They represent 1 and 1. The next square is going to be the sum of the two previous. So 1 and 1 is 2. Now the next block or square here is going to be the sum of the previous 2. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. So this is, let's say, 5 inches. My goodness, it's a whirlwind. So let's say this is 50 miles. So this is 10 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles, 50 miles. 50 miles plus 30 miles equals 80 miles. 80 miles plus 50 miles equals 130. 130 plus, 80 equals 210. 210 plus, I lost track, 130 is 550, and so on. And that's what makes the Fibonacci sequence. And the Fibonacci is called the golden spiral, the golden ratio, the Fibonacci spiral, God's spiral. And I think it's rightly called that because it is God's signature, God's pattern, not just in hurricanes, but do a Google image search of Fibonacci in nature. And you'll see all kinds of things. Like, let's see here. What can we produce here? There's the spiral right there. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 1, 3. Let's see. Yeah, 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 3 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. And you can it just keeps going out. You see it there. Broccoli. All right. Look at this. Each one of these little ribs on this broccoli thing has the exact same pattern as the other ones, and they're all there are multiple Fibonacci sequence patterns on this. Look at this one. You start in the middle of this, and it goes out like this. There's a Fibonacci spiral. And each one of these has their own Fibonacci spirals in it. And it's just, this is absolutely incredible. And science, falsely called, wants you to believe that this is an accident. That it's a mistake. How can you say that this intricate, duplicated pattern on this little vegetable here matches perfectly what a hurricane looks like? The same ratio, the same spiral, the exact same pattern. If it was just this right here and that to someone who did not know anything about the origin of our universe. Let's say they were 5 years old and they woke up out of a coma. And you're going to try to teach them stuff. And you show them this and you show them the hurricane. And you say, now, both of these have the exact same matching pattern. Do you think they were designed by the same person or did it just happen that way? You'd be an idiot. You'd be an idiot to say that's an accident. It just happened to be that way. There's nothing to this. Okay? I'm just saying, this is God's handiwork right here. Look at here. Same spiral. Same pattern. You know what? This is God speaking. This is God saying something here. He's saying, I did this. Let me read Romans. So you don't think I'm making stuff up. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How in the world can you look at this and this and this and say it's accidental? That multiple Fibonacci spirals going on here. Same pattern, same numerical structure, same ratio, all identical. And science wants you to believe that they all accidentally happened this way. That the DNA of this and this and this simultaneously throughout history wrote itself. And when it wrote that, each of these plants, their its DNA wrote itself. And when it wrote itself, each one of these plants embedded into its genetic code the traits that would be needed in order for this plant to display Fibonacci's spiral. I can't understand the willful ignorance of anybody. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say the word ignorant. The word ignorant means they are ignoring certain ideas, philosophies, or facts. Some people are just, they haven't been taught yet. Some people, they've heard it. They just chose not to accept it or believe it. But you have to understand that how is it that waves of the ocean knew that as the wind blows across the surface of the water toward the shore, it causes that water to lift up out of the ocean itself. And as that water lifts up off of the ocean, as it begins to crash back down into the water onto the beach, it does so making a spiral that is exactly the same ratio as this, this, and this. How does water know how to do that? What force of nature causes the waves of water to make a Fibonacci spiral? Or when you flush the toilet, okay? All you young people listening to me right now, with mom's permission, go in and flush the toilet and watch the water go down. And say, Mom, Fibonacci spiral here, okay? Mom's permission. God is the one who designed nature so that it follows a form. It follows a pattern, a rhythm. It has a beauty to it because God made it. And God makes things that are beautiful. And God is the one who designed all of the laws of the universe so that the entire universe falls into its own unique... Think about this. Let's say that right here where my mouse cursor is, there is a water molecule. One water molecule. Let's break it down. And this one water molecule used to be right next to this water molecule. when they were both in the toilet bowl tank. And they were happy to be neighbors. And then all of a sudden, a great sound as of a rushing mighty toilet. And now they're separated. And one water molecule is way over here, and the other water molecule is way over here. And they're both doing this dance. They're both getting in line and following this amazing, beautiful form. Who is it that wanted this water molecule to be here and this water molecule to be here and these to be like this, doing this right here? Who designed that? Was that nature? Did the Illuminati do that? Does it just happen that way? No. It had a creator. And work of art always has an artist. A sculpture always has a sculptor. A picture always has a photographer. Something that exists always has to have something that made it exist. That's a rule. Okay? There is nothing in the world, in the universe, that was made, that was not made by its creator, by Jesus Christ. We talked about this, the scroll, the way you roll up a scroll, and the scroll follows that same pattern. How? How does it do that? Why does it do that? It's the signature of the creator, the umbilical cord, same pattern. The child's connection to its mother, where the child gets oxygen, where it gets the spirit, the pneuma, the breath, where the child gets nutrients, where the child gets coffee. Excuse me. A little sip here. The hairs on your head are numbered. Same Fibonacci spiral. Your ear. Fibonacci spiral. The inner ear. Fibonacci spiral. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Because God's word, that roll, is a Fibonacci spiral. There is something about God's word that ordains that pattern to be in existence every place that it is. A ram's horn. And they would use the ram's horn in the Bible to sound an alarm, to sound an assembly. The typology of that, of course, is the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. And us being caught up into heaven at the sound of the last trump. And God designed ram's horns to be, they're just almost perfectly a Fibonacci spiral. Always starts out small in the center, and as it goes out, whirls around, it expands and becomes larger by the same numerical pattern as spiral galaxies. Who designed that? And I want you to think about this. How many galaxies? And you know what a galaxy is. You're looking at a galaxy, right? Galaxy. They're big, huge things. My wife said her first car was a Galaxy 500. She said it was as big as a galaxy. And those things were huge. Anyway, how many galaxies are there in the universe? There's no way of knowing. And each galaxy itself containing billions and billions of individual stars. So how many of those exist in the universe? The Bible says they are innumerable. And yet, most of them follow the exact same pattern. I know I'm repeating myself from the other day, but I just can't express this enough. The ecstasy that is in my heart, the beauty of that. I can look at galaxy pictures all day long. To me, the form is absolutely stunning. It's beauty is what it is. Even our hands, let me show you this. Even our hands, follow the Fibonacci ratio. If you take this bone and this bone, they are as long as this bone is. And if you take this bone and this bone, these two are as long as this bone is. You understand? That even your hand, by the way, 5 is a Fibonacci number. Okay? It's I can't get over this. Look at your hand. It's perfect. As much as anything can be in this world, God designed it. It's beautiful. It has a beauty to it. Don't tell me, guys and gals, when you were first courting your mate, you didn't take her and say, "You have beautiful hands." You were attracted to the form of her hand. It's beautiful. That's because each one of these fingers has that Fibonacci design to it. Each one is different in size, and yet the ratio remains the same in each one of them. God did that. God is talking here. All right, God is talking. And he's saying, this is all mine. I did this. Even your DNA. Even your DNA, which is God's book. God speaks. He speaks. Look here. He speaks out of the whirlwind, people. God's word is in this DNA right here. Now let's get some wisdom about this whirlwind. What is God saying? Okay? Proverbs 10, or Proverbs 1. Turn there. I know I like to put this up on the screen, and if you're watching online, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yeah, obviously you're watching online. Hopefully you can see these very clearly. When I put them on the screen here at the church, people can't read them. It's too small. And I do that on purpose. I want them to get their Bible out and look at their Bible. And I want you to get your Bible out if you're able to. If you're not, you know, if you're not driving, you're not at work or whatever it is you're doing, get your Bible out and underscore some of these verses. Let's set it up first. You know, it's there in verse 27, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. But let's look at, remember the context. Let's look at what comes before and after that. Let's walk circumspectly around this. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, "How long, ye simple ones?" And picture wisdom as your Bible. Or let's say women in the Bible are a type of the church, the bride. And so picture this wisdom as the ministry of a church, or maybe your own personal ministry. All right. So verse 22, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known," look at here, "I will make known my words unto you." See, picture wisdom as your Bible. "I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is one of the seven spirits of God. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Can you think of a place in the Bible where someone ate a piece of fruit? Genesis chapter 3. Do you know what the fruit of their own way is? It's going to be the man of sin, the son of perdition. He is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's who he is. It is the fruit of our doings. That's another way the Bible puts it. I shall give them the fruit of their doings. Look that one up. The fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of this, let me stop right here. Let me address that one. They shall be filled with their own devices. You know what this is? It is a mobile device. That's what this is. Here is another one. It is a mobile device. My computer is a device. How many of you know people that are constantly on their computer? Whether it's their phone, their tablet, their desktop, laptop, whatever. They're on it all the time. Now, I'm not saying that that in itself is bad. I'm not. To be honest with you, I'm looking at my phone or my iPad, or I'm at my computer desk at home and I'm working on a Watchman, or I'm working on some music, I'm working on a sermon or whatever. I spend a lot of time in the digital realm. But it's what some people do in that digital realm. You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. What will happen? This is a brotherly warning to you. What will happen is that you will get the fruit of your own way, and you will be filled with your own devices. What you're doing on your computer, if you don't ask God to help you stop, it will consume you like a whirlwind. And it will destroy you. I never watched this program when it came on, I guess, in the, 2000s. Dateline NBC, To Catch a Predator. I never watched it. Didn't even know it was on. And just recently, I've discovered it on YouTube, old episodes. You know what it is? Chris Hansen, he's the reporter, and he's working with this undercover sting company. It's a group of volunteers that all they do is they get involved with these dirty men who are getting on the internet looking for children. And they set these guys up. These guys actually go to a house where they think a 13-year-old boy is going to be there alone. And when they get there, they walk in on a camera crew from MSNBC, and then they get arrested and put in jail, prison, 8 to 10 years, and then register as a sex offender the rest of their life. Why? They got filled with their own devices. If you've never seen that, I encourage you, watch on YouTube To Catch a Predator and watch about 20 episodes of that. And I have no idea why I'm saying this or who I'm saying this to, but it could very well be that there's somebody listening to me right now that has contemplated chatting with an adolescent on the internet and hooking up with them. You're fixing to get the whirlwind. And let this be a strong warning to you. You're going to be filled with your own devices. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Their destructions come. This is, you want to know what God's saying about Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma? I would say to a nation that the Bible has called to and they refused. My good friend Tim Barron's out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Goal is to hand out 300 gospel tracts a day, every single day that he's out there. Why? Because Tim Barron's, he loves people. He loves people so much that he doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. And he tries desperately to get people to take gospel tracts. And you know what they do? No thanks. He is wisdom. He's out in the streets crying to them as they pass by, but they refuse. They want nothing to do with it. Oh my. Look at this. Proverbs 11:29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Inherit the wind. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. They're saying, some of the headlines on Drudge Report this afternoon, they're saying, Florida officials are saying that as of now, they are not sure that any building anywhere in Florida is going to be safe enough for this hurricane. That's insane. I'm not saying that the people that said that is insane. I'm saying I cannot wrap my mind around this. How, you know, in Florida, they get hurricanes all the time, right? And they build these buildings to be hurricane proof. And they're saying that they're not sure that any building is going to be safe. Now, they may be just sounding an alarm. And they may be wrong on this. I hope they are. But right now, if you were in Florida, and some of you are, where are you going to turn to for protection? Who are you going to turn to for protection? Because as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. God has the ability to absolutely scour the entire state of Florida if he wants. He has the ability to do it. And I would say probably has the right to do it. Isaiah 5, turn there. Their wheels like a whirlwind. Now this is where it's going to get spiritual. Notice I have it down here, so we're going to look, we're going to walk circumspectly around that. We're going to get the gist of it. We're not just going to isolate it and make a big deal about it. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six things here. That's music. Woe unto them that call a male a female and a female a male. Right? Woe unto Australia. In this whole transgendered, same-sex marriage scenario. Woe unto them that join husband to husband. Woe unto them that join wife to wife. Woe unto them that join binary gender to non-gender, gender neutral, or whatever. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now watch this. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. What do people do when they go to Florida? The kids go to Disney World and mom and dad get drunk. Right? Every hotel in Florida, every resort, every large enough swimming pool with a bar, right? That's Florida. What do they do in the Florida Keys? Fish and drink. That's Florida. It would be interesting to know the alcohol consumption rate in Florida versus the rest of the country. Because of the ocean beaches that they have. Beaches means vacationers. Vacationers drink. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. You know what that is? They vote not guilty on OJ. Oh, I watched the documentary about OJ. I think it was A&E that put that on, or ESPN, or one of the two. And they had jury members at his trial, and they basically said, and they were black jury members, and they said, we found him not guilty because he was black. And you're right. They justified the wicked for a reward. And that happens black, happens white. In fact, I would say it's equal. Happens to everybody. They justify the wicked for a reward. There's judges over here in Illinois a few years ago. One of them ended up dying of a drug overdose, and the other two that were with him got arrested, and they found out that these judges were working with the dope dealers, and they were giving some of their dope dealer buddies a pass in court so the judges could get free drugs and the drug dealers could go free. And it caught up with them. They were justifying the wicked for a reward. That stuff goes on everywhere. That's politics as usual in this country. They justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and in the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Do you see a pattern here? See, we've been talking about patterns, right? Do you see a pattern emerging? What happens when you shut the Bible, put it away, and don't have anything to do with it? What happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens, how it starts. What happens is you start calling evil things good. And you start calling good things evil. You start calling light darkness and darkness light. And you start drinking either actual physical beer, wine, alcohol, or spiritual drunkenness, which is false doctrine. Any kind of false doctrine. Doesn't matter. When you close the Bible, put away and walk away from it, when you despise the law of the Lord, these things start to happen. Then you start justifying the wicked for reward. You know what that means? That is the preachers who allow open sin in their churches. People shacking up, sodomites, drunkards, gamblers, revelers, you name it. They do it. Why? To get a big crowd in church so they can get a big fat check at the end of the week. That's why they do it. That's why I was going to do it. That's what I was going to do, or I thought I was going to do it 20 years ago. I probably wouldn't have succeeded. But I know the thought. I know what they think. I know how they think. I know why Joel Osteen did not want those dirty, nasty people in Houston messing up his carpet. Because he's too busy justifying the wicked for a reward. They've cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. And he hath stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and in the hills did tremble. And their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away. Now, I want you to get this. Because some people are going to ask, well, how evil is Houston and Florida? I mean, they didn't do anything that bad, did they? God said that when they cast away the law of the Lord and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel, this is what happens. This is not just a rainstorm, people. Let me show you this. Look at verse 25. Therefore, as the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Please come to me. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. He's making a call to a nation. It's not the nation of Israel. It's not the nation I can't remember now, the Joel's Army crowd. Well, it is. It's Joel's army. The real Joel's army. He's made a call to his mighty army. And it's a very evil army. Look at verse 27. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. You remember Joel's army? They're not going to stumble either. That's Joel chapter 2. None shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Didn't that burn you? Didn't that just really tick you off? You're right in the middle of a squadron of soldiers. You're running out to do a sword fight in the battlefield, and your shoelace breaks. Oh, I hate when that happens. Verse 28, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. The horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Now, is that just an exaggeration from God? Is that just the metaphorical statement of God's use of poetic license in the Bible? Their wheels like a whirlwind. Or does it actually mean that their wheels have the shape and characteristics of a whirlwind? Is that what that means? Oh, I wonder what the scriptures would say. Let me do something here real quick. There we go. Look at verse 29. Their roaring shall be like a lion. Does it really mean that? By the way, Joel's army in Joel chapter 2 and Revelation 9, they roar like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. I want you to notice that God said that their wheels, their chariot wheels, are like a whirlwind. What does the Bible tell us that this is? I believe that, can I say that every hurricane is related somehow to the presence of a destroying spirit? Why not? Wheels. Look up here on the screen. In Indian mysticism, they teach this doctrine that at the base of your spine, your 33 bones of your spine, there is a beast, a serpent. That serpent is coiled up at the base of your spine, and he wants to be released. He's going, "Hey! Get me out of here. Hey, it stinks down here. What have you been eating? Let me out." Okay, it's down there. And it wants to slither up the 33 bones like a mason going through the 33 rites to the Scottish rite. and he wants to bite your pineal gland, which is the third eye, it actually does, your pineal gland actually does see light. Your pineal gland sees light, and as long as it sees light, it remains dormant. When the pineal gland, when it starts getting dark outside and you start turning the lights off at the house, the pineal gland then activates, starts releasing melatonin, and you start getting sleepy, and it puts you to sleep. That's the pineal gland. And the serpent wants to rise up, but the serpent has to go through seven chakras, C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra. What are chakras? Chakras, the word chakra, you know what it means? Wheel. An energy vortex. You know what a vortex is? It's a whirlwind. Let me tell you what these really are. These chakras are spirits. Very evil devil spirits. Wheels, vortexes, energies. And there's seven of them. And you are possessed of seven devils practicing this stuff. Look here. Deuteronomy, think of them as lords and kings dominating you. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into a land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, let's count them, the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Those are the seven chakras. He's not just talking about the physical land dwellers. There is a higher prophecy here going on. And he's telling you that your land, heaven, right now is inhabited by angels that God is going to throw out one of these days. Hallelujah. Read Revelation 12. It's right there. Man, it's going to be glorious. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. They represent, think about it. We as Christians possess in us the seven spirits of God, which all are part of the one Holy Spirit. Seven candlesticks in the tabernacle. Those seven candlesticks are the seven spirits of God. That's what Revelation says. Those seven spirits of God, they're in Isaiah chapter 11. Jesus possessed them. They were in him. And if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and you had those seven spirits of God working in you. Those seven spirits of God are what gives you wisdom as you go through life. They're what gives you knowledge and understanding of the Bible. They are what gives you the right understanding who your God is, because it's the Spirit of the Lord. They give you that understanding that God is your King and your Lord. And they give you that understanding that you fear the Lord. Because that's the seventh spirit of God, the fear of the Lord. That's us as believers. Lost people, there's seven other spirits. Very evil, very dark spirits. The Indians call them chakras, wheels, energy vortexes. You remember Mary Magdalene? I believe that it's very possible that Mary Magdalene was a practitioner of an early form of yoga. I can't prove that, but the Bible says that she had seven devils in her, and Jesus cast them out. So now let me say this. If you have ever practiced yoga, even ignorantly, See, I'm using that word in a nice way, ignorantly. You didn't know this. Now you know. But if you've ever practiced this and you're afraid, just call on the name of the Lord. Call on the Lord, okay? These seven spirits, they're not more powerful than Jesus. He's got it, all right? But Mary Magdalene was possessed by seven devils. I think that they represent, number one, let me tell you who I think Mary Magdalene is. I think Mary Magdalene is a picture of Israel, the Jews. I think Israel right now is possessed of seven evil spirits. I didn't have the time because I spent all my morning putting all this together for you. But I have notes somewhere about, I know it seems like on the Sephiroth, the Tree of Life in Kabbalah, they have the 10 circles. They divide those up 3 and 7. They divide them up specifically. And I think that they say that there are 3 of them that abide up in the higher realms of heaven, and 7 of them abide with man down here. If I remember right, I think that's what it is. I didn't have time to look into it to present it to you that way. But I remember thinking about this several months back, going, I think Israel, because they are following the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is basically the same as this goofy stuff right here. I think Israel is possessed with 7 devils. And those 7 devils are those 7 circles of light in the lower world where man lives. And I think Israel, one of these days, Jesus is going to cast those 7 devils out of Israel so she can have the 7 spirits of God. Okay? That's what I think. That's kind of just the gist I get of it. Luke 8:2, and certain women which had been healed of all spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. So those wheels, the whirlwinds, the Bible's telling you they represent devils, spirits. In Judges chapter 10, take a look at this. Verse 6, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And let's count this now. Number 1, they served Balaam. Number 2, they served Ashtaroth. Number 3, they served the gods of Syria. Number 4, the gods of Zidon. Number 5, the gods of Moab. Number 6, the gods of the children of Ammon. And number 7, the gods of the Philistines. Look at that. Look at your Bible, people. Doesn't that just blow your gaskets? Here is right here, Israel. And that's exactly what I just said. I think Israel is possessed with 7 heads of the beast. 7 very evil spirits that has Israel in bondage. And they are blinding spirits. And they are arrogant, prideful spirits. And Israel cannot see the New Testament because they're partially blinded. And it's her own fault. She's been following Baal and Ashtaroth, which are the 2 pillars of the Sephiroth, the positive and the negative, the male and the female. Yahweh and Shekinah is who Baal and Ashtaroth is. And the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines. 7 different gods they've been worshiping. And forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Right now, Israel is a slave to this world. Now, somebody asked me, a good friend of mine, a friend of our ministry, was asking me some things about Israel and what I think about them. And it's noted that the Israel Supreme Court building, loaded with occult and Freemason symbols, it can be understood and I guess surmised that the hierarchy in amongst the politicians of Israel, or let's say the hierarchy of the Jewish rabbis, basically anybody in a high place among the whole Judaic world. Is it, can it be believed that these people are very evil people who are trying to bring in a new world order of Zionism, that these arrogant, prideful Jews think that they can take over the world and turn this whole world into Zion, the city of God, and think that they're doing the work of God? Is that possible? You betcha it is. They are some of the most evil people in the whole world. And God loves them. Surely, they can't be any more evil than the original, let's say, the original, I don't know how many there would be. Joseph was number 11. The other 10 wanted Joseph killed. Surely, the Jews now can't be any more evil than Joseph's 10 brothers who were going to take him and throw him in a pit and kill him. They're very evil people, and they're possessed with 7 devils, but so was Mary Magdalene. They harloted themselves out to the entire world. So did Rahab. And my point is this. I believe a lot, or I will say, I believe some of the conspiracy theories about the Jews. That does not change what I believe and what the Bible says about Israel. All right, I'll move on. But they're possessed, all right. Look at this. This is known as the sacred spiral. All throughout history, all over the world, medicine men, gurus, witch doctors, shamans. You know about those the holy men, they call the shamans. Okay? In some places they're known as the untouchables. Nobody can get anywhere near them because it's known that they all tell everybody, please don't squeeze the shaman. Oh, come on, that was good. You know it. But you have this sacred spiral everywhere. New Age symbols, occult symbols. You know what it is? It's an emblem signifying a spirit that part of it has the appearance of a wheel, a whirlwind wheel, a chakra, an energy vortex. Okay? Let's see here. Revelation 13 has stood upon this. We have 7 heads of the beast. That thing's out of order. But anyway, let me show you this. I want you to think about this idea of a whirlwind being a destroyer. A very powerful spirit that God has unleashed. God is guiding the path of this destroyer to do exactly what God wants it to do. And the appearance of this spirit, as much as we can see, has the shape of a whirlwind. And that's, let me go back to this verse. I kind of lost track of it, kind of got their wheels like a whirlwind. And this is a nation, this whole prophecy here, Isaiah 5, is about a nation that God is going to unleash on the earth in the last days, I think at the sounding of the trumpet. And their appearance is like a roaring lion. They look like an eagle. They have like horses. They have like the appearance of horses. Look here, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Literally, This is their appearance. And I think that that matches the description of the seven chakras, which I believe are seven spirits, seven devils. And that's what Mary Magdalene had. That was the point I was trying to make in all this. Now watch this. Isaiah 40 verse 18. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven. In other words, have you ever seen God? The answer is no. But here's a workman. Now he's melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. What the meaning of this is, here you have somebody taking gold and making a god out of it. And God said, you've never seen me. But then you've got somebody that is so poor, they don't have any gold. So they go down and cut a tree, because trees are free. And they take it to the workman and say, here, make me a god out of this. Look at verse 21. Look at this. I use this passage in this coming week's Watchman broadcast. Lindsay's working on it right now. I want you to count the number of questions that are asked here. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? You know what the original question is? To whom then will you liken God? In other words, what does God look like? And then here we have four questions. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? You know what? You want to know what God looks like? Look in these four books called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because that's who God looks like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof. I have the coolest thing to show you about verse 22 in this coming week's Watchman broadcast. Wait till you see it. Okay. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth his vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. The whirlwind. Not just a wind blowing. A spirit. A spirit taking them away doctrinally like stubble. All right? When you see whirlwinds, think spirits, think Bible. Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not, oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Whenever you get afraid, whenever you get scared, go read Isaiah 41. Fear, this is God talking to you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's the New Testament, folks. Woo. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. God's going to do away with all your enemies, people. One day or another, God is going to eliminate all of your enemies. Did you hear what I just said? What I just said was, you are not going to get rid of your own enemies. If you could, you would have, right? But you can't. God is going to do that for you. One day or another, he's going to do that for you. Verse 12, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a sharp new threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall melt the make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. I want you to catch this now. A whirlwind is going to take all of your enemies and blow them away from you and make them be gone. Pastor, what are you getting at? Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. Woo, that's good. Amen. What are you getting at? What was it that took Elijah into heaven when he was translated from this world to heaven without dying? When Elijah was raptured, what took him to heaven? What was it that God sent to him that took him without seeing death into heaven? Say it. It was the whirlwind. God sent the whirlwind and scattered the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And Elijah went from this world to heaven without seeing death, and he did it in a whirlwind, and God sent the whirlwind and scattered all of his enemies. My friends, my brothers, listen to me. You're fighting a war that you cannot win. You're fighting battles in your flesh that you cannot overcome. You're fighting tendencies and vulgarities and wickedness and lust in your flesh that you cannot win, but God can. And in due season, He will send a whirlwind that will take your enemies and scatter them away and take you on into glory. Isaiah 66:12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a... You know, I just had this thought. We asked the question, okay, if the whirlwind is God talking to America, what is it saying? I kind of like this, don't you? I would rather know 100%, absolutely for sure, that this is what God is saying, than to be standing around with a group of people going, boy, God's getting them. I wonder what God's saying to them. We don't have to guess, people. That's my point. We don't have to guess and make stuff up out of our mind about what God is saying by way of the whirlwind. We can read it. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord will be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a... Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. The Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. God is coming with fire and chariots like a whirlwind. Remember that spirit whose wheels were like a whirlwind? What do chariots have? Wheels. And what did God present himself? How did God present himself to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1? He came in riding on his chariot, and his chariots were angels. The chariots of the Lord are 10,000, even thousands of angels. This whirlwind is a spirit. And we are seeing the physical, I guess as much as can be seen of this spirit. And you're saying, okay, Pastor, that's just kind of goofy to me. I don't know. It's a storm, for crying out loud. Do you not live in the universe that God created? And do you not understand that we live in the universe of spirits everywhere? Everywhere. And God uses spirits, both good and evil, to accomplish His purpose. Do you not understand that? And is it not inside the realm of feasibility, if not possibility, to believe that God is trying to wake America up, or God is doing something that fulfills His righteousness and advances His kingdom in the form of these hurricanes? And do we not know from the Bible that when God is ready to send forth judgment, does He not often send spirits to enact that judgment? Yes. Behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind. The wheels of these chariots are the whirlwind, the chakras, the energy vortexes. This is a spirit, people. Second King, this is it right here. What was it that separated Elijah from Elisha? Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and part of them was both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Compare that to what we just read. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind. Look at that! Look at that! Isn't that glorious? See, this is two places in the Bible making sense now. Now we get it. We understand a little bit more than we did yesterday, because I for the first time am seeing this today. I never put these two things together, but I get it now. That chariot of fire and that horse of fire, those were angels. Real? You say even the chariot? Yes, even the chariot, because that's what Ezekiel saw. The living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance of their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Look at that. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. You know what you're seeing here? A wheel within a wheel. This is Saturn. This is Neptune. Look at that. Look at it, people. This right here. Do we not know that God said that the heavenly hosts were His angels? Look at what you're seeing here. You're seeing a wheel within a wheel. You're seeing the rings of a wheel, and you're seeing a wheel inside of a wheel, just like the Bible says. Now, isn't it interesting that the visible part of this is the wheel part? We see that part. And by the way, there is an energy vortex at the top. I just now thought of this. There's a swirling energy vortex at the top of Saturn. And you remember what shape it takes? A hexagon. Six-sided figure. Dun, dun. Jeremiah 4:11. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan, not to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles.
Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. This is, again, this is, I think, God's mighty army, Joel's army. His chariot shall be as a whirlwind. There it is again. There's the second witness right there. So what are you thinking? You thinking what I'm thinking? Do you think that these hurricanes have a spiritual basis to them? And when I say spiritual, I mean there is a spirit there. Very powerful spirit. Like a whirlwind, like a chariot. Jeremiah 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you in vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Are we still seeing this same pattern? Before we were seeing that when they rejected the words of the Lord, God sent the whirlwind. Now here we're seeing the same thing. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That sounds like your best life now. Sounds like the name it, claim it, word faith crowd. That says all you got to do is proclaim riches and wealth. And all you got to do is say the magic words and you'll get it. And that's thus saith the Lord. And God said, I never said that. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Well, God, not everything that you do, God, is in the Bible. God says, really? Where'd you get that? Well, it's not in the Bible. See, it's how I know. Verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who hath perceived and heard his word, and who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. Why? Maybe. Because in the latter days, we can now see what a hurricane looks like from a few miles up. We now see this perfectly formed Fibonacci spiral thing, and it looks like a whirlwind. It looks like the whirlwind wheels of the chariots that we just saw in the Bible. In the latter days, we're considering this in a way that I think nobody's ever done before. Jeremiah 25:31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from a nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Where did this thing come from? It came from Africa, West Africa. Hot air from the Sahara blowing over that warm Atlantic water. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, nor neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Now, I will say that Hurricane Irma is not this particular whirlwind. And I think we ought to be thankful. It looks like to me that God is going to send a whirlwind to this earth, whose destruction is going to be so potent that literally the slain men of the earth are going to touch one another like you'd be able to stretch them from one end of the earth all the way around, touching itself again. A line, a solid line of dead bodies that this whirlwind's going to kill. The death toll of that whirlwind, 100%. Jeremiah 30. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Take your Bible out and underline that, and write next to it 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because that's where God said, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, come out of her, my people, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And this is, I think he's quoting here, Jeremiah chapter 30. Now look at verse 23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall here it is again. In the latter days you shall consider it. Another testimony. And all of these, everything that we have seen so far in this study has told us that God does definitely speak with these whirlwinds. It's just that what he's saying, a lot of people are not going to like it. These whirlwinds, these hurricanes, they don't come and make our communities and our land better. They destroy everything in their path. These are not blessings from God. These are curses. These are judgments of God. Why? People turn their back on God. Ezekiel 1. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire folding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, and also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. So now watch this. Oh, you're going to like this. You're going to like this. How much time do I have? Man, I got to hurry with this. I got to get this in. Look at verse 7. They have sown the wind. They shall reap the whirlwind. Now, what does that mean? Reap the whirlwind. They've sown the wind. So what was it? Remember, when you sow seed. And according to the Gospels, seed is the word, right? But in this case, it's not the incorruptible word of the Word of God. You see, in this case, they've sown the wind. And what is that wind? The Bible tells you. It's the wind of doctrine, the wind of false doctrine. Hosea 12:1, Ephraim feedeth on the wind. What was it? Lies and desolation. Who is the prince of the power of the air? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you sow the wind, you're sowing lies. You're sowing deceit. You're sowing false doctrine. And when you do that, you're going to reap the whirlwind. What is the false doctrine, the lies that have been sown down in Florida, down in Houston, all across America? What is it? You don't need the Bible. You don't need that preaching. We don't need that talking about sin all the time behind the pulpit. We don't need that. We need our best life now. We need to know how we can become rich. Or how we can hook up with other people. Or how we can just love everybody. But we don't need that preaching against sin and condemnation and hellfire. We don't need that. So give us smooth things. Give us nice things. Give us happy things. If we come to church. And my friends. And that idea of every wind of doctrine. You know, there's only one truth. And there's a million lies, right? In every way imaginable, people are sowing deceit, sowing doctrines of covetousness, doctrines of lust and adultery. Mike Hutzel preached a powerful message last night. I was deeply under conviction last night, and that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody to come down here and preach my case, because I need it. But you know what he preached last night? One of the greatest sins in the Bible is idolatry. Making God out to be somebody that he is not. And so you know what happens when you carve out a different God? That's when adultery and fornication follows in. Because once you carve out a God that lets you do that stuff, then you go do it. Because God lets you do it. But if you actually have the God of the Bible, and you know what God says he'll do to you for adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and uncleanness and filthiness, God will tear you apart. God will whoop the fire out of you for that. God will chastise you for that. God will get you for that. And that'll make you go, you know what? I'm not going to cheat on my wife. I'm not going to cheat on my husband. I think this pornography is wrong that I'm looking at. I think I need to get this stuff out of my life. It'll cause you to have a fear of God. But what happens is people, they follow after all these other winds of doctrine. And they let that be sown in their life. And what they're going to reap, listen to this now, let's put this together. What they're going to reap because of this is a spirit, a very evil, dark, terrible spirit. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Does God speak out of the whirlwind? Yes. What is he saying? Look in your Bible. Look in the Word of... I'm not even done with this. I've got Hosea 13, Amos 1, Nahum 1, Zechariah 7. You go look them up yourself, find out what God will say. God speaks out of the whirlwind, people. And he's speaking now to America. Is America going to listen? I hope they would. Service tonight begins at 7 p.m. Central. Evangelist Mike Hutzel, one of my dearest friends, a man sent from God here to Bethel. He loves this church, but he's not going to apologize for the things that he says. And if you want God to deal with you, come be part of our service tonight, 7 o'clock. We're going to stream it live, Facebook, Pastor Mike Online, the Facebook page right here, facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. I stream it to my YouTube channel. Michael Hauger. We're streaming it to Sermon Audio. Get this Bethel Church Sermon Audio app. Go to the iOS or Android store. Look up Bethel Church. Look for our church picture. Get that one. Put it on your mobile device. You'll get all of our streaming stuff, all of our sermons on there. Mike Hutzel's sermon from last night's on there as well. I love you. I do. You guys, you online people have no idea what you have done for me in my life. You have no idea. Okay? But as much as you think God has used me in your life, that's how much God's used you in mine. Okay? I may not be able to tell each one of you individually, by phone, by email, in person, how much I love you. I don't have the time to do that. but I love you. This is why I'm here every day. All I'm trying to do is get you to do this one thing. You know what it is, don't you? Thank you.